Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are here on day number 145, and that brings us to Leviticus chapter 4, as we're continuing to work our way through this wonderful, challenging, interesting, enlightening book. By the way, I want to make a little book recommendation here. Emmanuel in Our Place by Tremper Longman III. This is part of a series from Presbyterian Reform Publishers, PNR, called The Gospel According to the Old Testament, and the subtitle is Seeing Christ in Israel's Worship. So, Emmanuel in Our Place, Seeing Christ in Israel's Worship by Tremper Longman III from Presbyterian Reform Publishing, part of their series called The Gospel According to the Old Testament. Very helpful. It's little. It's not hard to read. It's not highly academic, and it's very, very helpful. And many of the insights that I'm getting, I've drawn from this book as well as from other sources that I have. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into Leviticus chapter 4. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for being with us and blessing us with life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that He is our atonement. He is our peace. He is our fellowship. He is our covering, our cleansing, our everything is found in Jesus. Father, we pray that you would bless us and be with us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Leviticus chapter 4. This is God's word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, If anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and does any one of them, if it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then he shall offer for the sin that he has committed a bull from the herd without blemish to the Lord for a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and lay his hand on the head of the bull, and kill the bull before the Lord. And the anointed priest shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it into the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle part of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense before the Lord that is in the tent of meeting. And the rest of the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offerings that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and all the fat of the bull of the sin offering he shall remove from it, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys of the fat that is on them, at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, he shall remove with the kidneys, just as these are taken from the ox of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering. But the skin of the bull, and all its flesh, with its head, its legs, its entrails, and its dung, all the rest of the bull, he shall carry outside of the camp, to a clean place, to the ash heap, and shall burn it upon a fire of wood. On the ash heap it shall be burned up. If the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they do any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and they realize their guilt, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, the assembly shall offer a bull from the herd for a sin offering, and bring it in front of the tent of meeting. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull shall be killed before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall bring some of the blood of the bull into the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil, and he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is in the tent of meeting before the Lord, and the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and all its fat he shall take from it and burn on the altar. Thus shall he do with the bull, as he did with the bull of the sin offering, so shall he do with this, and the priest shall make atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven, and he shall carry the bull outside the camp and burn it up, as he burned up the first bull. It is the sin offering for the assembly. When a leader sins, doing unintentionally any one of the things that by the commandments of the Lord his God ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt, or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring as his offering a goat, a male without blemish, and shall lay his hands on the head of the goat, and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and pour out the rest of the altar at the blood at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, and all its fat he shall burn on the altar, like the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. So the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin, and he shall be forgiven. If any one of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt, or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has committed. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and kill the sin offering in the place of burnt offering, and the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and pour it out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove, as the fat is removed from the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, and the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. If he brings a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish, and lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and kill it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove, as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the Lord's food offerings, and the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin which he has committed, and he shall be forgiven. That is what is translated as the sin offering. It is a mandatory offering that is prompted by an occasion of what's called unintentional sin. The literal translation of this Hebrew word is to miss, right? A miss. So you may know that the word for sin in both Hebrew and Greek means to miss the target. Typically we think of falling short of the target, but there's a goal of what God requires, and when you miss, that's a sin. But this doesn't always have a moral sense to it, because some of the commandments that might be broken might be cleanliness commandments. For example, there are these types of offerings that are required after certain bodily discharges that men and women can have that might bring uncleanness on them. And there's nothing immoral about having those kinds of bodily discharges, but it does bring an uncleanness, and it does require this kind of sacrifice to deal with it. And so Tremper Longman in his book says maybe we should think of this as a cleansing sacrifice. So atonement is pictured in the very first one, the burnt offering. That's dealing really with the guilt of sin. And this is maybe dealing with the uncleanness of sin, which could be moral or ceremonial. It could be a moral-related sin, or it could be a ceremonial cleanliness-related sin. But this is a new set of sacrifices. So at the beginning of chapter 1, the Lord called Moses and spoke to him in the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them," right? And then chapter 2 doesn't begin that way. It's just when anyone brings. Chapter 3 doesn't begin that way. It's just if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering. But then at chapter 4, we have that kind of introductory heading again. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the people of Israel saying, if anyone sins unintentionally." So this introductory line really is the transition that we're beginning a new section here. So you had three offerings together that were offered for voluntarily from worshipers, atonement for sin, tribute or tithe, or, you know, the grain offering, the gift offering. and then the fellowship or peace offering. Here, this offering is mandated, and it's mandated when there is an unintentional sin that's committed, and it varies depending on who's committed it. So it could have been committed by the high priest, that's this, the anointed priest, in verse 3, that's the high priest. Or it could have been committed by all the people. Maybe there was something in the law that they were unaware of, they hadn't been taught properly, and so they were violating God's law, but they weren't doing it intentionally, they just didn't know, they weren't taught. In either one of those two cases, with the high priest himself, or with all of the people together, the procedure for this offering is the same, because both of those things bring a level of guilt or uncleanness upon the whole assembly. Because the high priest is the covenant mediator regarding matters of holiness and cleanliness, if the covenant mediator is unclean, unintentionally, if it's high-handed, there's a different way that has to deal with that a sacrifice doesn't cover. There's actual justice and punishment that has to be taken out. But this, the high priest here has made himself unclean, and he is the covenant mediator of cleanliness, holiness. Well, that means that affects the whole people. And so something happens with these two sacrifices, this guilt or cleanliness sacrifice for missing, that for the high priest and for the whole congregation, something happens with the blood that doesn't happen with any other one. And that is, you take the blood all the way in to the sanctuary, to the veil that separates the holy place from the most holy place, and you sprinkle the blood against that veil 7 times. So you're supposed to have some blood, perhaps in a dish, you take inside, and you sprinkle it 7 times on that veil. And then you come to the altar of burnt incense, that the smaller altar that's inside the sanctuary, that represents the prayers of the people, because the uncleanness blocks us from having access to God and blocks us, our prayers, from being heard by God. And so you put the blood on the horns of that altar. And then you pour out the rest around the base, and then you take the remainder of the animal outside the camp to be burned. So Jesus suffered for us outside the camp to make cleansing for us. And so that's what happens, and it has to be a bull in both of these cases. That's the most prized, most valuable, most expensive animal. If it's either the high priest or it's all of the people, it has to be a bull. And so the cost is high, and the blood has to go far, because it affects the whole covenant community. Now, when a leader sins, this is a tribal leader or judge or another official, not the covenant mediator of cleanliness, which is the high priest, then you could have a lesser offering. This is a goat, and the blood doesn't go in as far because it's just one man's sin. But he's a leader, and so he has to bring a goat, which is still fairly costly, but it's not as costly as the bull. And then if it's any one of the common people, he could bring a goat, a female, without blemish. Whereas the leader would have to bring a male without blemish, and the males are a little bit more costly than the females because they have a vital role in, females do have a vital role in reproduction too, but generally speaking, the male goats, a healthy male goat would be a little bit more expensive than a female goat. And so you have this offering that's from one of the common people. And it could be a goat or it could be a lamb. And this is interesting because this is, I think, the only place where it's specified to be a female. And it doesn't really tell us in the text why that is. And so I think it would just be speculation for us to guess as to why it may be. But the point of this offering is that we are sometimes unclean, and then we need to be made clean. And of course, Christ is the fulfillment of that. As I said, he suffered outside the camp, outside the city walls of Jerusalem for us as a sacrifice to make us clean before God. So we'll continue looking at this, in particular sins that are dealt with in Leviticus 5, which will come to the day after tomorrow. Tomorrow, oh boy, tomorrow is a challenge and an excitement, because we're going to Romans 8, which you probably know if you know me at all, is my favorite chapter in the Bible. And what I mean by that is it's the heart of the gospel and how we live that out as believers and the assurances that we have. So that's tomorrow. And then, Lord willing, we'll be back here in Leviticus the day after tomorrow. So have a blessed day in the Lord. Let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for this passage. Thank you that Christ cleanses us of all of our uncleanness. He not only takes away the guilt of our sin by making atonement for us, but he also covers our uncleanness and cleanses us from every filth of sin. Thank you for Jesus. We praise you in his name. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day in the Lord.